All right, if you turn to 1 Thessalonians, that's where I'll be working from today as we've been wrapping up, or actually working through 1 Thessalonians. And we're going to be continuing our journey through there. Started out talking about, at the first of the year, talking about 1 Thessalonians, talking about getting a clear aim of your target or what you want to aim for. And we talked about if you get off just a little bit, by the time you get to the end of that target, that you will be off track and that you'll be further off track than when you started. And so we talked about making sure we were aiming for the right things and make sure our life is on track to please God. And then we talked about getting stuck and needing some help getting unstuck and help getting pushed out of a rut, or sometimes we get stuck and we need some help getting pushed out. We talked about focusing our life on God and His work and His mission last week. And this week we're going to be talking about guided by the truth. Guided by the Word of God, not by the will of man or the Word of man. And so we're going to talk about that and talk about how we're going to keep our lives straight. You know, Paul was writing this to the church of Thessalonica just to encourage them. And a lot of times in our lives as Christians, we get discouraged. And when we get discouraged, then we usually fall off path and stop doing the will of God for our lives and stop doing what He's called us to do, because as a Christian, it takes courage to do the will of God, especially in the world that we live in. And so many times we get right to the point when we need the courage to do it, and we lack the courage, and we don't do all that God wants us to do. We always go through life having regrets and saying, well, I wish I would have just went ahead and taught that class, or I wish I would have went and just tried to do this for the Lord. And we never take that step. And Paul knew that, and that's where these believers were. They were discouraged. They were young believers. They had come to Christ. They were attacked, and yet they were starting to let up in the faith. And he just wrote this letter to encourage them, to keep them going, to keep them straight, to keep them pushing on. And in our lives, that's what we need. We need to push on. We need to keep courage in our lives, because it's too much at stake to give up or to quit. Think about it as a husband. You know, it's too much invested in your marriage to give up, to quit. We need the courage to keep going. We need the courage to keep fighting for the right things in our lives and right things in our marriage as a dad or a mom, for our parent, for our kids' sake. We need to have courage to stand up for what's right regardless of what other people are doing and how the world is going. We need to take a stand for the Lord and raise our kids the way we should raise them and teach them the things of God. In your job, you know, a lot of times we get in our job and we don't really think much about that, but God cares about your job. He cares about your life. And a lot of times we need the courage to do the right things, to be a witness and a testimony, to step up and say, this is what God has for me, this is the plan He has, and I know He's put me here, and I want to have the courage to do God's will. And a lot of times we get off track, and a lot of times we need guidance. Well, where do you go for guidance? You know, who do you ask when you need to have wisdom? Well, the Bible's clear. We can go to the Bible. We go to God's Word. Paul tells them, if you need guidance or guidance in your life, when I see you, that's one thing that I thank God for, is I see this guidance from the Word of God in your life. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, we'll just work through one verse. It says this: for this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because you have received the Word of God, which you have heard from us. You welcomed it, not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. So the guidance, he says, comes from the Word of God. The Word of God, not man. This week you had to forgive me, I had a cold this week, so I got to take a couple drinks of water, so hopefully I don't distract you if I do this right. Anyways, right? But one thing I hated when I was always teaching, they drank water and I always wanted to go get me a drink of water. So I hope it doesn't encourage you to drink water. Kind of like yesterday was in the car and Courtney was crying and she was fussing, saying she had to go to the bathroom. I was like, man, she really has to go to the bathroom. He said, I can't hold it. And all of a sudden I hear Tanner from the back seat going, psst, psst, psst. I'm like, really, son? You know, when you hear it, you gotta do it. So hopefully by me drinking water, you don't have to get up and drink water. But if you need a bottle of water, there's a bottle of water out there for you, all right? So hopefully it won't distract you too much. Anyways, the Word of God, not man. Listen, we must recognize the Bible as the Word of God, not as the Word of man. When we come to the Bible, we got to be straight. We got to have a core belief. We got to have a conviction in our heart that this is God's Word. This is His Word to us. This is His revelation to you and to me. And what we believe about the Bible has a huge impact in your Christian walk. Because there's parts of the Bible you're going to like, and there's parts of the Bible you're not going to like. And there's parts of the Bible that's going to challenge you, and there's going to be parts of the Bible that's going to encourage you. There's parts of the Bible that's going to lift you up. There's parts of the Bible that's going to tear you down. And if you don't believe the Bible in the whole, or as it is, what you'll do is you'll cherry pick the verses that you like. You know, you'll like the parts that you're really good at, and you won't like the parts that you really need to work on, right? And so as the Bible in a whole, we need to come to the conviction that this is the Word of God. This is this Bible has a huge impact on your Christian walk, how you treat it, how you use it, how you put it in your life. And you say, well, what about the Bible? Where did the Bible come from? How did it come about? How can I trust the Bible? Is this something that man made up, or is this really from God? Is this really something I have? Well, the Bible is a Latin word and a Greek word that means a book. It's a fitting name since the Bible is the book for all people of all time, right? It's a book like no other. It's in a class of itself. In our Bible we hold today, there's 66 books. There's 66 books in our Bible all put together. It has the Old Testament, has the New Testament, has the book of the law, it has historical books, it has poetry books, it has prophecy books, it has the Gospels in the New Testament, has the letters, has revelations. All these things that come together as we know is the Bible. In the Bible, you're going to find over 40 different human authors or writers. They contributed to the Bible. It's written over a period of 1,500 years. The authors come from all sorts of backgrounds. There were kings, there were fishermen, there was priests, government officials, farmers, shepherds, and doctors. I didn't see any lawyers in the list. But anyways, any from the rest, right? Actually, there was a lawyer part of it. But anyways, from all the diversity comes incredible, incredible unity, though. When you read our Bible, you notice there's some common themes throughout the whole thing. It's almost like it was all put together, right? I mean, it was almost like it's completely put together. So many authors, so many writers, so many different things. And you say, how does it have such great unity? It's simple, because God put the book together. I mean, there was many writers and recorders, but God was the author. God was the author of it all, and He put this together for you and for me, and it was not by man, it was by God. This is God's revelation to you and me. God revealed Himself in some ways. A lot of times we talk about general revelation and specific revelation. General revelation, God has generally revealed Himself to all mankind. The Bible says that no one can stand excuse in front of God and say He didn't reveal Him, because of the creation of the world speaks and says there is a God. He revealed Himself clearly to all people. And then specifically, as you learn, He's revealed Himself through the Son of God, through Jesus Christ. He was God in flesh. He came and you could see Him, and personally people saw Him. He was revealed. And yet that recording of that is the Word of God. It's a specific revelation of who God is. And yes, you'll hear it all the time. If God's book is the Bible, why did man write it? And I always say, well, what did you want him to use, right? I mean, would you believe it if it was a dog wrote it, or a donkey wrote it, or a horse wrote it, right? Of course he was going to use man to write it, right? He used man to record his word, and the Bible is about God. It's about him. It's his revelation. It's what he wants you to know about him. I don't know about you, but back in the old days, back when you used to write instead of text, you ever had a note written to you, or you passed notes in class, right? If you was a boy and a girl, let's clarify that. If you was a boy and a girl wrote you a note, or if you was a girl and a boy wrote you a note, right? You couldn't wait to get out of that class to open that note to see what it said, right? Because you knew in that note it had something to say about you and that person, right? That you couldn't wait. You had to get that thing to open it up to see what it says, to see part of what it was, what it said. And yet, that's what God has done for you and me. He's given us a note. He's given us a Bible. And He said, this is yours. We should be excited about it. We should take it and treasure it. We should put it above in our lives. And above all, we should know it's about Him. And it's His letter. It is not the word of man. It is the word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16. This is great scripture memory. One of the first scriptures we teach at Awana, Jumpstart and all the rest. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. 2 Peter 1:20-21 is also great scripture memory for you and for me about the Bible. Knowing this first, no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but of holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, I've been a Christian now for many years, and it amazes me how much treasure is in the Word of God. Listen, every year, every day, every lesson, every sermon that I go to preach and to teach from the Word of God, it's something new in there. I mean, it is living, it is active, it is a treasure, and it's not by man, it is the will of God. The Bible was written by God, given to man as a self-revelation. And if God gave us the Bible, and God is important, then guess what? The Bible is important. Man, what a treasure. What a gift. What a gift He's given to you and to me. And let me tell you, it is impossible. It's impossible for you to be a growing, thriving, on fire Christian without having the Word of God in your life. It's impossible. I'm convinced. No one who does not read their Bible and study their Bible will ever be a great, great, on fire, serving God type of Christian. Listen, it's your guide. It's your handbook for life. It's the handbook for the Christian life. It tells you about God. It tells you how to walk. It tells you how about the Holy Spirit. It tells you all these things. It's important. It was given by man. It was given through man, but by God. Paul says in verse 13, how should we react as Christians? Well, if this is the Word of God, how should we react to it? Number one, we need to receive the Word of God. You see that what he said? He says, you receive the Word of God. The word received here is a general word. It literally means to hear or to acknowledge. In other words, we need to receive the Word of God, or we need to hear the Word of God. We need to acknowledge it. And listen, the Word of God is great, and you can say it's the Bible, and you can say it's great, and you can say it is God's Word, but if you never read it and you never hear it, guess what good it will do you? It won't do you good at all. Listen, what good does the Bible do sitting on your dashboard in your car? What good does the Bible do sitting on the coffee table in your house? What good does the Bible do that's not open and read and heard? And we must continually open our hearts and our minds and our ears to hearing the Word of God. And listen, there's great ways you can do this. Well, first of all, you can have a personal quiet time. I talk about this every year, and we go in every time. And listen, it amazes me. I don't care how many great Christian men and women you know, every one of them says it comes down to a personal quiet time that they read their Bible from. Did you know there was an inauguration this week? Did y'all know that? We got a new president in our country. Some of you are smiling, some of you are frowning, right? Hopefully most of you are smiling. But without question, the vice president, Mike Pence, was probably the best communicator of the gospel in the whole group, right? I mean, he literally laid out the gospel straight and true. And when he was sworn in, he had his own Bible, and he said he wanted that Bible to be part of his swearing-in process because every single day he reads from that Bible. And he says that Bible has guided him through life, through marriage, through storms, through trials, through everything. He wanted to be sworn in by his Bible because he reads his Bible every single day. I was just listening to Charles Stanley this morning, and he said, one thing in my life that has changed my life more than anything else is that I read my Bible every single day. Dr. Jerry Vines, great preacher, great Christian, you know what he says? The single most powerful thing in my life wasn't a conference, it wasn't seminary, it wasn't listening to preachers, it wasn't any of that. You know what it was? Every single day I read my Bible. Read your Bible. You got to get it in your mind and have a quiet time, a time you set aside to read God's Word, to take in God's Word. Now listen, there's many ways we could do that today. We can read it. We can have a quiet time. We can schedule it. We could also have podcasts of scriptures. You can download the Bible. It can read it for you. You could put it on your phone as a reminder. You could put it on these things. There's several ways, but we need to continually receive the Word of God. Our lives are going to be impacted by God's Word, then we must have a time where we receive or we intake the Bible. Number two, he said not only did they receive it, but they accepted the Word as the Word of God. Now, the word accept here means more than just our general English term. Back in the day, it means a welcoming or like hospitality, like welcoming a visitor into your home. Now, this is not just hearing of the ears. This is not just reading your Bible. That's great. That's the step, first step. But you also need to accept it. You need to receive it. You need to accept it. And we must receive it in our heart. God's Word, we must receive by faith. You see, God's Word is dead until we mix it with faith in our life, right? What good is God's Word if we don't receive it with faith? If we don't receive it with our hearts? Listen, it impacts our mind, but it must impact our heart too. You see, our mind and our ears only take us so far. It's in our hearts that impacts our will, right? I mean, it's in your heart that impacts your belief system. It's in your heart where convictions are stored. And you see, the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So as we seek Him, we must say, God, this matters. This means something. I accept Your Word. I accept Your life. And listen, I'm going to say this is where the breakdown most of the time occurs in Christian's walk. Listen, in my life, when I've had periods of time that was dry with the Lord, this is where the breakdown comes. Listen, you can read the Word and you can go through the motions and you can hear Scriptures and you can do all those things, but until we receive it, until we have hospitality, until we bring it into our lives and mix it with faith, till it gets in our heart, it really don't matter. You know, I was listening to a great preacher one time. He says, you know, I love to preach. And he said, I want to impact people's lives. And he said, I want to change their minds. And I want to do different things. He said, one time after I got done preaching, the lady comes out and she says, man, that was a great, great message. You stepped all over my toes. And he says, man, I missed it then. Because I didn't want to step on your toes. I wanted to step in your heart. That's what he was saying. He was saying, I don't want it just to be an outward impact. I want this in your heart. And the same is true with us. The Word of God, if it's going to impact us, it must go through our mind. It's got to get in our hearts. It's got to be here. It's got to be in our hearts. And when we get into our hearts by faith, then the Word of God can work in our lives. Then the Word of God goes to work in our lives. Look at the last part of that verse says, which effectively works in those who believe. You see that? Which effectively works in you who believe. So we receive it, we accept it in our hearts, and then it works in our lives. Listen, the message of God has got to go from your head to your head, to your heart, to your hands. Listen, if it doesn't ever get to the hands, what good is it? Like, if we hear it and we believe it, but we never act on it, what good is it, right? I mean, it's got to go from the head to the heart to the hands. And listen, when the Word of God is in full effect in our lives, that's where God wants it to be. That's where it transforms our lives. It transforms not only our minds and our hearts, but it transforms our walk with Him. It transforms our lives, our hands. It effectively works in those who believe. And listen, what's inside eventually works itself outside. What we put in our minds eventually gets in our hearts. What we put in our hearts eventually comes out in our hands. And listen, a lot of times when people talk about words and what we say and what we do, people say something, they say, oh, I didn't mean to say that. Yes, you did. Because the Bible says whatever's in your heart, it speaks the mouth, right? I mean, that's what we say because that's what's in our heart. And it's the same with true. When we put God's Word in our minds, it goes in our hearts, it comes out our hands, and what you see outwardly in our lives is what's happening inwardly in our hearts. And if we're mean and we're unforgiving and we're hateful towards people, guess what's in my heart? It's not God's Word, right? I mean, it's not transforming my life. And so you know the breakdown is not just the outward. It comes from the inward. Listen, what's inside eventually works itself outside. James 1:22, it has interesting parts of this. It says this, but be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Did you hear that? Be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he looks in the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not forgetful hearer but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. You see that? He says, listen, what good is it just to be a hearer of the Word? And man, throughout our world, how many of them, Christians who say they're Christian are just hearers of the Word. I mean, they read their Bibles, they go to church, they listen to Christian music, but they're just hearers only. James says, don't be deceived. Listen, that's not the way it's supposed to be. If you're a Christian and you are the same as you were when you first got saved, then that's not working in your life, right? I mean, something's wrong. That this truth, this life, this Bible, when you get it in your minds, it gets in your heart, it changes your life. Don't be like the man who looks in a mirror. Now, I'm not quite so sure if this translation is correct, because this should be more like a woman, right? I mean, when a woman looks in the mirror, right? Have you ever seen women put on makeup? They put on makeup, they close it up, they open it back up, and everywhere you go, they keep opening it back up and opening it back up and opening it back up and looking and looking and looking, right? Men are just ugly, so it doesn't matter anyways, right? So women look and look and look, right? That's what it's saying. What good is it if you look in a mirror and you go away and you forget what you were? If you have to keep going back and back and back and back again, he's saying, listen, get in your heart, get in your mind, look in it and continue in it. Do not be a forgetful hearer. That we must progress, we must move, and as this moves in our life, then it pushes us through this thing called life. And listen, this is practically in our life. Do you have a quiet time? Seriously. And this is God's word to you and to me. Do you have a time in your day that you could set aside to read God's word? I mean, think about it. If you just give 5 minutes up, I know you're busy. I'm busy, right? And preferably, you might be in the morning. I've heard people say, well, you know, if you don't have your Bible study in the morning, you don't read your God's word in the morning, then you're sinning. You know what I mean? Listen, I don't even feel saved until 10 o'clock sometimes, right? I mean, seriously, I don't even feel saved. And listen, it doesn't have to be in the morning. There's nothing more holy about the morning than there is in the evening, right? If your time is in the evening, it's great. Have it in the evening. If your time's in the middle of the day, have it in the middle of the day. If your time's before, you're an early riser and you get up early and you wake up happy, that's great. Do it early. But it doesn't matter the time. It matters that you have it. That every day you're intaking God's word. That every day you have a quiet time. You have a time when you sit down and say, God, I'm going to read your word. Now, I'll be honest with you. I have this on my phone and I read it on my phone, but sometimes I get distracted because you can't turn everything else off on your phone, right? But try to get something to where you can get aside and just read God's word for 5 minutes. Just read it and read through the scriptures and put in your heart and have a quiet time. I'm telling you, you're missing out. If you're not doing it, and in your life, if you used to do it and you're not doing it now, I don't even have to tell you. Your life is different. Your spirit's different. Your worship's different. Your closeness to God is different. It's all different. When we have a consistent quiet time, you will be closer to the Lord. There's just no doubt about it. Are you having intake of God's word? And are you welcoming God's word in your life? You know, what area of our life have we put off limits to God? A lot of people say, well, you know, I'm not going to forgive that person. You know what that says? You're not welcoming God's word in your life. You know what God says? To forgive them as I forgive them. You know one thing I've done with Courtney? I'd lay down her at night, get her asleep. As we sit there and sleep, I've been teaching her the Lord's Prayer. And every time it gets to the part, you know, forgive us of our trespasses, forgive those who trespass against us, right? Every time you mention Scripture, when God forgives someone's sins, what's the very next sentence? Forgive others as I have forgiven you. Period. And listen, when we get to God's Word and we see that and we push that away, you know what that is? We're not welcoming God's Word in our life. Listen, God is not working in our hearts and our lives when He tells us not to do certain things or to live holy, to be righteous, and we push that out of our lives. We are not welcoming in our lives. We're just being hearers only. What area of your life are you a hearer only? And welcome God's word in your life, in your marriage, in your home, as a parent. We need to welcome those things in our life and welcome in our hearts and our lives. And thirdly, you know, what does it look like on the outside of your life? If someone were to follow you around, would they have enough evidence to convict you as a Christian? Think about that. If you went to a court of law, would they say, this week they followed you around, there was enough external evidence to convict you as a Christian in a court? Because let me tell you, if it doesn't come out, it's not on the inside. Once inside, it's eventually going to come out. It's going to happen. It's going to come through. We got to be doers of the word. We got to see it and work in our lives and encourage us. And listen, maybe you're in a hard spot. You need wisdom. You need direction. You feel like you're lost. Let me tell you, that's when the devil really works. I mean, that's when he really wants you to give up. That's when he really wants you to go away from God. But when we're guided by God's word, when we're pushed through his faith, that's what Paul's telling him. Listen, stay on track. Keep gaining his wisdom. Keep understanding what he's saying and receiving God's word, accepting it and living by it, and watch him work in your lives to see his will done for you and for me. Now listen, we've just gone through the Christmas season. I must be honest, this year was pretty easy for me. I bought a couple iPads and a couple other things. There was nothing to assemble for me this year. Can you believe that? I mean, you know, as the dad, that's the job of the dad, is to put together all the toys Santa Claus left behind, right? I mean, that's your job, to put it all together. Well, 2 years ago, though, that wasn't the case. We decided to buy Tanner a set of drums. I know that wasn't the smartest decision of our life, you know? Because he starts playing, like, stop them stupid things, you know? Like, boom, 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 boom. But that's what? This big set of drums came in a little bitty box. And I looked, and Aaron says, I got Tanner drums. And well, the night before, let me say this. I already told Tanner this year that Santa Claus didn't exist. So this is not gonna ruin his. I'm sorry, Clayton. Did that ruin it? I'm sorry, buddy. I'm sorry, buddy. That ruined it for you. So I had to put together the gift Santa Claus left behind. Anyway, so I started with this little bitty box, right? And so I started working on this little bitty box, and I'm working on it the night before. Aaron pulls that box, and she said, here it is. I want you to put it together. I thought, all right, no problem at all. So I started putting it together, and I started digging this out and digging this part out. I mean, there was parts everywhere. I mean, it was everywhere. And I was trying to put this together and put that together. And after about an hour, of course, struggling what to do, where to go, I decided, you know what? I better read the directions. Because I've been at this thing for an hour, and these things aren't even close to looking together, right? And so all of a sudden I got the directions out from where I started and before, and thought I could do it faster and better in an easier way. And yet I started at step one. And I went through step one, and guess what? When I got to the end of it, guess what I had? I had a drum set. Sure enough, every part when it was supposed to be there, I put the screws in, I put the stuff in, I did everything it said, and the end result was a drum set. Let me tell you. That's what the Bible is to Christians. The Bible is our instruction book. And listen, you can try to walk without Christ, with Christ without it, but let me tell you, you're going to have a mess. All you're going to do is struggle. Things are going to be out of place. Parts are going to be missing. You're going to get frustrated. You're going to want to quit. You're going to give up. But listen, when you take the Bible, you start with step one. You start with step one. You know what step one is? A relationship with Jesus Christ. Step one is when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. That's step one. You can't have step two, step three, step five. You've got to start with step one. And when you become a Christian, when you receive Jesus Christ, when you repent of your sins and you trust in the Lord, and all of a sudden you start opening those directions, you start following God's word, let me tell you, at the end of your life, guess what you're going to look like? You're going to look exactly the way God wants you to look. You're going to look like Jesus. And one day, someone who is not anything close to Christ, at the end, you're going to look just like Jesus Christ, just the way God designed you to be, because you followed the instruction book. You followed God's word in your life. Let's pray together.